I'm not going to do a whole big sermon, but I do want to share a few things with you this morning. I believe it's going to encourage somebody here. We've already done some of it this morning, and that's about casting our cares. And I know I've spoken on this before, and I'll probably speak on it again in the near future. But I want you to get in your Bibles real quick and turn to 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. It seems to me that even just lately, there's been a lot of Christians that are confused. They're full of fear about money and family issues and also about their health. Like Tommy was saying, there's strange things going on in the heavenlies. There's birds dropping dead and fish. And I even read a thing on the internet yesterday, and it said, hopefully it's just poison that's doing it to these birds. And then they said on the thing, hope it's not the end of the world. That's what this documentary said. Hope it's not the end of the world. So, you know, and I know that I could be, some people may say, well, Pastor, you need to be preaching about the end times. You need to be telling us about all the end time things. And I could do that. And if God leads me to do it, I will. But you know what? I feel more encouraged to tell you about what to do when the end times do come. And instead of panicking and getting fearful, what can you do I don't know about 2012. I don't know about 2011. Jesus could come before I finish the sermon. And we got somebody over here. What is your first name? She got saved this morning. And so she's as ready for heaven as if she was already there. See what the Lord is doing. I'm telling you, He is faithful. And now's not the time to get discouraged. Now's the time to get busy. So the Bible says, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. One way that you could humble yourself is what we've been talking about fasting. And that is, when you fast, you're humbling yourself. Starting tomorrow, and I don't usually tell when I fast and stuff, but because I'm calling this a corporate fast, I am telling you, I'm starting a fast tomorrow, starting the 10th, and I'll be going for 21 days. And there's some direction I need in my life. I'm going to be praying about this church. And I challenge you to join me in this fast. If you, whatever it is, you know, I would like for you to find something that you could fast. If it's food would be the best thing to fast. You could do the Daniel fast, which is no meat, no sugars, and no bread. Okay, y'all looking at me like, don't say that sugar thing. Good grief, don't touch my bread. But no meat, no sugar, no bread. I think we can live for 21 days on vegetables and fruits and things like beans. So, you know, that's and then there's a fast of doing without any food at all. And then there's partial fast where you don't eat anything till 3 o'clock, which is, I believe, kind of a Jewish fast, which is a partial fast. And then you eat a light meal. But do something. If you have family that is not saved, I challenge you, I encourage you as a church, join with me and let's fast and let's see some results in here. We can see people, we can see your families get saved. We can see you get healed. We can see financial situations turn around big time. There's a little story I read in here that I would like to share with you. And it's about King Richard the Lionhearted. The story is told that King Richard the Lionhearted was so successful in defending England that his record was one of continual victory. One time, however, he was outmatched on the battlefield as combined armies of other European powers were against him. So King Richard had a very loyal and trustworthy servant who always rode by his side in battle and was thrilled by the daring exploits of his king and conquest after conquest. But in this particular battle against the combined armies that were coming against them, The odds were so overwhelming that for the first time in his brilliant career, King Richard the Lionhearted sounded a sound of retreat on the bugle. This was an overwhelming sight for Richard's faithful servant to see his own brave and noble king leading a retreat. As the servant ran his horse with King Richard, he remembered battle after battle where the king had so gallantly led the English army to astonishing victory. Now, it was sad. It's a sad, dismal time, frustrating defeat, and to conceive of King Richard the Lionhearted being defeated was more than this trustworthy servant could endure. So the story is told that the servant raised his horse next to the king and shouted in his ear, "King Richard, remember who you are. Remember who you are." And according to history, this was an experience, and the king stopped and he remembered. He remembered all the battles that he had won, and he remembered who he was. So he had the bugler to blow the sound for forward march, and they won the battle that day. And I would say to you this morning, don't forget who you are. You're not just anybody. You have won battles before with God's help. You've come through situations. And if you've come through them before with the power of God, you will do it again. You don't have to retreat. You don't have to start talking defeat. You don't have to say all this stuff about, I don't know where we're going to get money from. I don't know how we're going to make it. If God has ever done it before, he can do it again. And I know that there's times when you get overwhelmed and everything, but that's not the time to start talking defeat. I'm asking you this morning to start stepping out of faith. The Amplified Version of 1 Peter 5 and 7 says it like this, casting the whole of your cares. Do you know that there's actually some people that will say, well, God, if you'll take half of my cares, I believe I can handle the rest of them. That's ignorance gone to seed. That's stupid. You don't need to carry any of them. Not one care. You look at all your cares and you cast them up. This past week, when I was faced with that, I cast that care up on the Lord. Now, when you cast a care, it's not yours anymore, right? Nathan, come here just a minute. I'm going to throw this book to you. I want to just show them. Just right here. Just stand right here. And you can take it back to your seat. But stop right there. Stop. Now, I'm going to cast this. This book symbolizes problems, finances, relationship problems, whatever it is. And so when that represent me. And so things that maybe I've been boggled down with. But now when I cast them to Nathan, go right back to your seat with it. But I want it at church. Now, I don't have it anymore. Who's got it? Nathan. I'm not carrying that anymore. Nathan is. It's the same thing when you cast your cares on the Lord. They're not yours anymore. If you're not carrying them, then that must mean that you're carefree. And if you're carefree, then that means that you can lift up your hand and say, well, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I don't have to worry about this anymore. Oh, and let me just tell you, though, Satan will come against you over and over, and he'll draw pictures in your mind, and he'll tell you garbage, he'll tell you lies, and he'll try to make you see the worst-case scenario, especially right before you go to bed. But that's when you say, I'm not carrying that anymore, devil. I cast that off on the Lord. You'll have to go see him about it. Yeah, you know he ain't going to go seeing Jesus about nothing. Repeat after me. Jesus is my burden bearer. He knows all about me and the problems I'm facing. He carries my load. I turn it over to him. Hallelujah! Some of you came in here this morning with what seemed to be like a 100-pound sack of troubles, but you don't have to carry it home with you. You just don't. If you're lying awake at night trying to figure out your situation and how, now this is what's kind of funny. People try to figure out how to help God fix their situation. That's just dumb. God is God. He's God all by himself, and he doesn't need your help. All he needs for you is for you to trust him, for you to look up and say, I trust you. I don't know how you're going to fix this. It's none of my business. All I know is you said in your word you would take care of me. You said in your word, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging for bread. We need to start acting like the word of God is true. And in order to get results, you must start acting like the word of God is true. All the time, is God's word true all the time? Or is it just true on Sunday? All the time. Is his word true concerning your situation? Then act like it. Say it out loud. God's word is true. I trust God. And I was telling you that, you know, some people feel like that, you know, there should be a lot of end time preaching, I guess, maybe right now. But my thinking about this, and I thought about it, and I thought, what good is it going to do for me to tell you about problems we're facing if I don't tell you how to trust God when they come? Because all that's going to do is put fear inside of you. People will say things. Can I just be honest? Well, anyway. And that is, people will say, did you hear about the birds falling out of the sky? Ooh, did you hear about the global warming? And all of these things? Ooh, did you hear about there's one of those things up in the sky going to hit the earth? What's those things? Meteor. Now, what is that supposed to do? Now, you're like a deer caught in headlights. Meteor coming? Birds dying? What are you supposed to do with it? See, that's where I'm at right now. I'm thinking, okay, am I supposed to, now, is this the place where I'm supposed to go be afraid somewhere? Tell me. No, God said, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. So that tells me in these last days when these things are happening, and they are happening, they do say there will be a meteor come very close to the earth, and it may even hit the earth. I don't know. I don't have to worry about that because God said, I'll take care of you. He said, you're in my hand. I've got you. My job is to trust God. My job is to get in his word. My job is to speak his word. My job is to walk in joy. Because if you as a Christian, if we're walking around going, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? There's a meteor coming. Oh, my goodness, and the birds are falling. What are we going to do? Oh, what shall we do? And the sinners see you, if they think you're scared and you're supposed to have the answer, what the world are they going to do? But, oh, when we as Christians, when somebody comes up to you and says, there's things happening, and their eyes are big, and what are we going to do? And you just look at them and you say, well, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to praise God. And the God says we can praise him in everything. Give him praise. When you're scared, when there's things happening you don't understand in the heavenlies, let me tell you, there's going to be more things to come. But is that for you to, is that me trying to scare you and to get saved? You know what? You know, if that's what it takes to get you saved, then boo, you know. But but I'm telling you this morning, I would rather see it happen to where the Bible says the goodness of the Lord leads to repentance. Where you go out and you tell somebody, yes, I know there's things happening. I know it's a scary time. But we don't have to worry because God, if God be for me, who could be against me? I believe that there is a time when God expects us to grow in the faith. And every parent, when your child is born and your precious baby is born, you expect that child to start growing and to develop. If your child is still laying in the crib and crying for a bottle when he's 12 years old, you've got a problem. There's something not developed there. And as a pastor of this church, I'm seeing some of you growing by leaps and bounds. You are just growing. And then there's some of you that should be walking and running, but you're still toddling around. I'm just saying it. But don't get discouraged about that if you're not growing fast enough. Don't get discouraged because you could grow even this week. You could have a growth spurt. I was with David not too long ago, my grandson, and He went to bed a size 12 pants and woke up a size 14. I'm serious. I fed him a bunch of tacos the night before, and I don't know if that's what happened. I don't know what happened. But we could not find that child a pair of pants. And finally, we found him somewhere. We had to extend the band on it or something. He just, they were up around his ankles almost. So you could have a spiritual growth spurt this week. How would you do that? By getting into the Word of God, reading the Word, speaking the Word, praying. We need to pray. Pray. Now, if you're here on Wednesday night, you've heard me say this. Don't be praying dumb prayers, prayers of unbelief. You know you can do that? Oh, God, if you'll just save this wretched heathen husband of mine, you can take everything I've got. You can just make me go bankrupt, and I'll serve you. Is that in the Bible? That's just stupid religious praying. That's not lining up with the Word of God. That's just you trying to be humble. But you don't have to pray like that, because God said, I'll save you and your household. You don't have to pray and ask God to break your legs in order to get your husband saved. That's not in the Bible. People pray crazy stuff. But I do challenge you to start praying, lining up with the Word of God. What does God's Word say? If His Word says, by His stripes you're healed, then pray that. If He says He'll meet all your financial needs, pray that. If He says that you can have joy and love and peace, pray that. And you're going to start seeing a growth spurt in your life. The Bible says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. If your kids just heard you, but they never did anything you told them to do, you would get frustrated. If you say, go make your bed. I hear you, Mom. Yeah, and I know you all. You'd be like, you hear me? You better be doing something about it. Get that thing out. Mm-mm-mm. And you say, go clean your room. Yes, I hear that. Go take out the trash. Yes, I hear that. You would be like, you better be being doing more than just hearing me. You better get yourself up and get to moving. But we do that to God all the time. We're always, God will say, pray for this person. Do this. Go there. Talk to that person. Smile at that person. Yes, Lord, I hear you, God. I hear you. When I can, I'll do that. I'm not saying God would do this, but sometimes I wonder if He ever feels like going, ch-ch-ch-ch, you know, like, wake up, do what I say. I'm encouraging you to start somewhere this week. If the Bible says to pay your tithes, and it does, then do it. What is there to argue about? What is there to get fretful about? Somebody said to me just this week, they said, I don't have any money to tithe. I said, if you've got a quarter, give a quarter. If you've got change, if you've got silver, if you've got nickels and dimes, give it. Start somewhere, and God will bless you. If the Bible says to cast your cares, do it. And it does tell you that. If the Bible tells you to be faithful to come to church, then come to church. If the Bible tells you to read the Bible, then read the Bible. If the Bible tells you to pray, then pray. If the Bible tells you to stop worrying, then stop worrying. And the Bible does tell us this. In Philippians 4:6, it says, be careful for nothing. And now we don't talk like that in this day and age. What we would say in this modern day vernacular would be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If you know God's word is true and you act like it's true, the Bible will become real in your life. You will bring God on the scene in your life. Start somewhere. Quit waiting for your mama to pray for you. Quit waiting for your grandma to pray for you or your Aunt Sally. Teenagers, I say to you too this morning, you pray. I remember as a teenager, I literally did warfare, and I didn't even know what warfare was back then. But I did warfare through the name of Jesus. Satan came against me. He literally, I'll just tell you, I don't tell this all the time, but Satan literally came against me and said, why don't you just end your life? And for a minute, I thought about it because I was under such a heavy attack. But God came through for me And I knew enough that I knew that I better not be doing that mess because I'd go straight to hell. So I said, I ain't be doing that stuff. But you know what? God, I was under such an attack as a teenager because I believe Satan knew that one day I'd be standing in the pulpit. I believe that that's why I was under this attack. And I remember I got it in my head that God was mad at me and that he didn't love me anymore and that I had done something so terrible that he could never forgive me. But I remember I went to church that night. I went to church at the Elton Church of God. This had been going on for months, maybe even a year. I was under such a oppression. And as I look back now, I realize why that happened. But I was under such an oppression and a darkness, and I was getting ulcers in my stomach. I was 16 years old and had ulcers in my stomach. And I didn't understand about the Bible. Nobody was teaching you the stuff I'm teaching you now. And I'm not, that's, they walked in the light that they had back then. So I'm not busting on them. I'm just saying I didn't know this stuff then. And I remember, though, that I went to church, and that night they were having a great service. And I wanted to sing When We All Get to Heaven, but I didn't sing it because I didn't think I was going to go because I thought that I had done something bad and that God wouldn't forgive me. You have to understand, God says, you confess your faults and I'll forgive you. He said that. If you commit a sin, he said, you just tell me what it is and you confess that you've done wrong. And he says, I'll forgive you from all unrighteousness. But see, I didn't understand that stuff back then. I didn't know all of that. And I remember when I went to the service and I stopped the service because I said, I got to know. So the preacher was up and he's doing his thing. And I stood up and I walked up front and I said, I got to know if I'm going to make it or not. I got to know if God loves me, something to that effect. And they stopped the service and they prayed for me. And there was a message in tongues and interpretation. And I'm going to tell you something. At that moment, I felt like my life was in the balance at that very moment. I felt like God could come back and say, I'm done with her. But he came back through the interpretation. And he said, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. So the next day, I remember that I was standing at the linen closet of my house, and all of a sudden, I could tell you Satan stood about right there. It must have been a little demon because it was about that high. And he said to me, God is mad at you, and he's not going to forgive you. You've done something bad. And I remember I didn't know anything about speaking the word, but I did this. It got the Holy Ghost, he is so great. He brought it up out of my spirit, and I said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the earth. That's all I knew to say. And don't you know that thing, that devil left me? And I was able to grow up in the Lord. I was able to grow up, and God kept me. And another thing was I got filled up with the Holy Ghost. God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I quit backsliding after that. I'm just saying it. If you're going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, one day you're saved and the next day you're shacking up with somebody, you need to repent, and then you need to get filled up with the Holy Ghost and quit that junk, because Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The trump of God shall sound, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And you're not going to have time to pray for forgiveness. You're not going to have the time to go to Sister Holy Mo and tell her, I've always hated your guts and I want to tell you I'm sorry. It's too late then. If you've got to forgive somebody, my goodness, do it today. When you walk out of this church, you get on your cell phone and you say, you know, you and I haven't, we've not been getting along and I don't particularly like you, but you know what? I want you to forgive me. I want to get in a relationship with you. I am sorry for the things I said. Please forgive me. Because you know what? It's not worth you missing heaven over. All right, I'm almost done. One more thing, and this is important. I said it at the beginning of the service, and I want to say it again. One thing that will help you grow spiritually is to praise and to worship the Most High God, Jehovah. And I said to you, I dare you to worship him like nobody's watching. Oh, you do other things when nobody's watching. When I go home and I'm watching the Ravens and I put on my jersey, my number five FICO. Anyway, when I'm sitting there, and I'm in the house by myself, and I'm like, yes, go, woo-hoo, you know, and I've got neighbors on both sides. I do it even because I know nobody's watching me, but I would probably do that in public. But we do things in private at home before God. We say, oh, God, thank you, Lord, so much. But we come to church, and we're like, I'm Sister Holy Mo, and I don't move. I don't show any emotions because I, you know, just don't, because I don't feel like that. I don't feel like we have to be emotional. Oh, that's a bunch of junk. I want to tell you, when you get to heaven, the Bible says there's only going to be 30 minutes of silence in heaven, and then it's going to all break loose. I mean to tell you, there's going to be rejoicing. I heard about a man, and I'll share this, and I'll close right now. I heard about a man, I think I've shared this, but it's so good, that he said he was conservative in his praise. He loved the Lord. He believed the Bible. I believe he was a preacher, and he truly loved God, and he was born again, saved, and he was dying. But his daughter now, she would get radical. She'd say, well, praise God, hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. And he would tell her, you don't need to be doing that. That's not necessary. You don't need to be praising God like that. But you know what? When that old man was dying and was on his deathbed and he was getting ready to go meet the Lord, all of a sudden God allowed him to see what was going on in heaven. And there was great rejoicing. There was great praise going on. And he said, daughter, come in here and help me praise my way right into heaven. And she came in there, and the two of them were rejoicing and praising God as his last breath left his body. He was praising and worshiping God. So I challenge you, when you're by yourself or when you come in this church, praise him. I was thinking the other day, I was thinking that, you know, sometimes when I hear a lot of problems, I have people call me, not even from the church here. I have other pastors call me. I have a minister's wife I'm mentoring, and other people call. And I don't mind, but sometimes after about an hour of a lot of stuff, I feel heavy in my spirit. Like, man, that's a lot of stuff, you know. And then I was thinking about it, and I thought, God hears stuff every day from billions of people. He hears all the drama. He hears all the fears. He hears all of these people that are desperately in need. And he hears these people, and he answers prayers every day. But who is praising him? Who? Yes, we go to him and we tell him our problems, but who is praising him? Who is saying, God, you've heard a lot of problems today. You've heard a lot of prayers today. But I've just come to not ask you for anything. I've just come to praise you because you're worthy. I just want to love on you, Jesus. I just want to love on you and tell you you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Oh, I dare you to do it. I challenge you to grow in the Lord this week. Read your word. Praise him. Cast your cares. Don't wait till you come in here on Sunday to cast your cares. Cast your cares if it happens on Tuesday. Don't wait till Sunday. I challenge you, stand in the middle of your living room, put your cares in your hands, and then cast them up to the Lord and say, I thank you, God, I have cast my cares. And when Satan comes back to remind you of your problems, say, devil, I've done cast those cares, and Jesus has got them. And he said, I'll take care of you. God will take care of you. He said, that the Bible talks about that poor man cried and God delivered him out of all of his fears, out of all of his troubles, and he'll still do it again. Come on, everybody stand. Bow your heads, close your eyes, no moving around, no talking. This is God's time. God has been in his house this morning, and he's faithful. I don't know if anybody here is not ready to meet the Lord, but I will give this opportunity. If there's anybody here this morning and you don't know the Lord, I just open these altars to you. If you want to come down here, we will pray with you, and you can be as ready for heaven as if you was already there. Anybody at all that you would like to get saved this morning, feel free to come up. if there's anybody here that you have any other needs of any other kind that you would like for us to pray about, you're saying, yes, Pastor, I'm saved, and I know I'm going to heaven, but I've got some other situations. You know, if you would like to come up and pray for, we'll be glad to do that. I do want you to pray for Sister Robin as we close. She's had a flood of her house, and just not sure where all the source of it is and everything. So pray for her. She's stressed out about it. And just pray for God to bring solution to that. Let us bow our heads. Father, thank you so much, God, for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for being in church with us this morning. Thank you for being here at Lighthouse Ministries. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Thank you for saving souls. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power that was here today. Thank you, Lord, that you are the burden bearer and that we can cast all of our cares upon you, and for you care for us. And you lovingly care for us. And I ask you, Lord, those that we would grow in you this week, that we would grow in the Lord. And, oh, God, that when fears and doubts come against us, Lord, that we run to you. Lord, that we would get into your word and read your word and speak your word and believe your word, and that we will say, I trust you, Lord. I trust you. And, Lord, I pray for Robin right now, God, that you would touch her in this situation. I ask you, God, to rebuke the devourer for her sake. I ask you, Lord, to let good come out of this. In Jesus' name, we give you all the praise. I ask you, Lord, to watch over us as we go our separate ways. I pray a hedge of protection around us. I plead the blood of Jesus around everyone. And I ask you, Lord, that you would preserve our steps today and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated just a minute while Brother Gilbert comes.